This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Wong Xiaoning, and joining me from the depths of Kuala Lumpur is Roshan Gunnison. And we had a bit of a background noise to announce our arrival. It is now 6 a.m. in the morning, Wednesday, the 11th of November. And guess what? Today is 11-11, which I think is an artificially created shopping day called Singles Day. But we are going to discuss that and whether... that's just an excuse for us to like go online and find bargains. And it's very clever of the originator of that, which is the one and only Alibaba. So we're going to be covering that story later, right, Roshan?
Yes, we are. We certainly will be. And you know, Xiaoning, it's the heart of capitalism to create holidays to spend money, right? A Valentine's Day, whatever needs to be done to sell something, we'll find a way to do it. And you know, also when we talk about capitalism and markets and business, we got some really good news yesterday when Pfizer announced, along with BioNTech, that the vaccine was that they had in development was 90% effective or had an efficacy rate of 90%. But, you know, although it's good news, should we maybe temper our expectations and basically understand and when will we realistically get that? I think we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. But of course, at 6:30, when we take a look at international headlines, we will be keeping an update on the White House and developments around it. What's going on? You know, is Donald Trump going to back
go
off?
Go quietly into the night.
Go quietly into the night, shall we? I love the way you put it. That's perfect. The perfect way to.
I already know the answer.
Yes, but we will still discuss it at 6:30.
Yes, nonetheless. But if there's as usual, if you want to weigh in on our conversations, you can. Please WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll really like to know what you think. We'll have more for you in a few minutes. But first, here's Running on Empty by Jackson Brown. Don't go away. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was Running on Empty by Jackson Brown. And I hope at 6:07 in the morning, you aren't actually running on empty. Not much energy for the rest of the day if you are. But today is nonetheless Wednesday, 11th of November. And of course, this is The Morning Run, and I'm Wong Xiaoning, joined by Roshan Gunnison from the depths of Petaling Jaya. Now, like we said earlier, today is the 11th of November, so very nicely, 11-11. But it also means, according to this BBC article, but I think most of us already know it, it's China's Singles Day. And what has happened is that one very clever entrepreneur who just happens to be Alibaba, they've come up with this day where you celebrate shopping. Just because you're single doesn't mean you can't shop. So in other words, you should concentrate your time at home clicking on websites and finding things to buy. And boy, has this day really grown and grown over time. So what do you think, Roshan? Are you one of those people who are at home clicking away, filling your shopping basket?
I hope not, Xiaoning. I really don't. I really hope I'm not. Because you know, what I've done is I've kept my phone away. I'm not looking at anything. And to be fair, there's nothing I'd really want. The only things I really wanted this year was a nice webcam, and I finally got one. So I think I'm done for the year. But it'll be interesting. And you know, it's interesting to note, Xiaoning, that Singles Day was started in 2009, which means this year is the 11th Singles Day. So the 11th, 11-11, I know, I just found it a funny number. But, you know, every country, I guess we all have our different shopping celebrations, right? Whether it's birthdays or Valentine's Day or Christmas, Deepavali for some, Chinese New Year for some as well. Maybe this is just China's capitalistic, own capitalistic holiday, right?
Exactly. I mean, in US, you've got Black Friday, right? Like that's the biggest.
Yeah, of course.
That's like the biggest shopping day. I mean, it's done by all retailers. Of course, Amazon has taken it to a whole new level. And I think Amazon also has their own shopping day. But the point is, when you look at shopping, you can't deny what a pastime it has become for most of us. And just to put things into context from this BBC article, there are apparently 3 million workers helped by 4,000 planes and ships just getting ready for today, which is the biggest online sale. And the reason why there's so much emphasis on this year's one is because with COVID-19, most of us were in some form of lockdown, right? And even today in Malaysia, we are discouraged from going out. We are encouraged to stay at home, to break the chain. So it's not like you can't go shopping, but you go shopping online. And apparently, there's this new thing, according to the BBC. It's revenge spending. So you were denied it, so now this is your chance to get it. Which is kind of strange when you think about it, because aren't we facing a global recession?
Yeah, it's what they call pent-up demand, right, Xiaoning? And I think all eyes on whether this year's 11.11 will beat the last year's 24-hour spending spree. And if I got this correct, last year, the event raked in about just under $31 billion in sales.
US, by the way.
US dollars in 16 and a half hours of trading. And of course, that event was graced by the likes of Taylor Swift, part of their 24-hour shopping spree. So it's a massive event, getting people's attention, getting people to shop on there. But that's an interesting point you bring up, Xiaoning, because on one side, we are facing economic crunch in different sectors of society. But on this other part, we're also seeing the boom in e-commerce as people have that substitution away from physical to the online world. In fact, yesterday, I think Google, Temasek and Bain released their annual economy report. And they showed that in Malaysia, Xiaoning, Malaysia had the biggest e-commerce growth in the region in terms of growth rate. Volumes are still much lower than other countries like Indonesia, for example. But Malaysia saw a massive jump, I think an 85% growth in e-commerce. And it's a very interesting thing to pay attention to. And seeing whether they beat, whether 11.11 overall beats last year's numbers is going to be an interesting barometer into the health and state of the consumer, I think.
Yeah, especially I think if we look specifically in China. I'm looking at this article from Bloomberg. So apparently sales were off to a brisk start at the opening of a 24-hour sale. And sales totaled so far just $56.3 billion, just in the first 30 minutes, okay? Including revenue from an additional shopping window earlier this month. Now, at the end of the day, by the close, I'm just curious, will it actually beat other 11.11 days? And what's the point is also that Alibaba's November 11 sale, it has actually surpassed the busiest US online shopping sprees, which, like I say, is Black Friday, but there's also Cyber Monday. So combine Black Friday and Cyber Monday, 11.11 does even better than them. But the point is, I think the reality is that e-commerce, online shopping is here to stay. COVID-19 has accelerated this trend, which was already starting. But what does this mean for brick and mortar? Do retailers have to have omni-channels? They need to appeal on different levels. And I think that that's going to be the new normal.
Yeah, for sure, you know. And when we take a look at, you know, the other thing, when we take a look at the numbers that come up from 11.11, I wonder how many consumers actually wait for these kind of days, right?
Me.
Because, yeah. So,
because I love a bargain.
You know, but Xiaoning, I saw recently that, you know, that one thing to pay attention to is to watch the prices of the goods that you want to buy, because sometimes retailers apparently jack up the prices just before 11.11.
No.
And then they have that steep, in quotes, steep discount.
Yeah.
So it looks like it's on discount, but really what you're paying for is what you would have paid a few months back. So just a few tips to keep in mind on this 11.11 day. But, you know, last month there was 10.10. Before that was 9.9. So I'm getting confused with all
there'll
the different
holidays. There'll be an 8.8.7.7.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure 8.8 is a very prosperous, it will be a very prosperous event at some point in, I don't know, some company's going to take it up.
Yeah, but let us know what you think. Are you looking forward to this shopping day? Have you done your homework? Have you got your items in the cart? Do WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now for some messages, stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, and that was No Time for Dreaming by Charles Bradley. It has just gone past 6:18 in the morning, Wednesday, 11th of November. And as usual, we woke up this morning to more news about the Pfizer vaccine, which of course is extremely good news. So far, data has kind of indicated that it could have an efficacy rate of as much as 90%, which is far higher than I think most health experts had expected. I think the range was around 70%. But of course, there remains many, many, many unanswered questions about it. And some of these questions were actually raised in this BBC article entitled COVID, who will have the Pfizer vaccine first and when can I get it? Because yes, it all comes back to, you know, you're going to ask your question, this question, right? What about me? You know, yes, you hope that it works, but we all want our lives to go back to normal as soon as possible, right? I mean, COVID-19, being locked at home, the fact that we wear our masks, the fact that we can't hug our friends, children can't go to school, these are very, very disruptive changes to anyone's life. And I think, honestly, if you ask me in January whether I would ever imagine a life like this, no, Definitely not. So for sure, we all want to know when we can get it, how soon can we get it, and will it work?
Yeah, I mean, those are some of the big questions, right? And I know it is a moment of celebration, or at least of sigh of relief, right? That there is a vaccine of these efficacy levels in the works. How it comes out, that's a different thing. But, you know, this doesn't mean that it's time to slack off, right? It doesn't mean that it's time to relax. It's still not in our hands. It's still not with us. Distribution, I think Pfizer can make 1.2 billion doses a year. Well, there are 7 billion people on Earth, so that's going to take a few years to get that in everyone's hands, right? And it's going to be a targeted measure. If I recall your interview with YB Khairi Jamaluddin, Xiaoning, about even in Malaysia, frontliners will get first, then vulnerable groups. That's kind of the situation we're looking at because of the way the virus works. But this is not a time to, I think, slack off on the SOPs. As it is in Malaysia, we are still facing the CMCO. We're still facing, I think cases are in the
800s.
The high triple digits, right? This is not something to mess around with. So this is just something to keep in mind, right? And again, what it does do is it gives us a bit of hope and a light of end of the tunnel, right? That it's like, before this, it was like, oh my God, when are we ever going to see this over? Where is that light at the end of the tunnel? This gives us that light at the tunnel, although it's still quite a distance away.
Yes.
But it's still a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel.
I think what it relieves for me some of the mental health stress I have been facing. Mm-hmm. Because I think with COVID-19, the worry was, do we have to live like this forever and ever? Is this really just going to be the new normal? And I think it was kind of a very daunting feeling. It really, like, my heart sank, you know, every time we see these cases going to 1,000, 1,004. This is just Malaysia. We're not talking about overseas or in globally, when cases are like in the millions and daily infection rates in US are above 100,000. And you also see death rates in Malaysia rising. So it kind of wears down on you, thinking, when is this all going to change? And like you say, the COVID-19 vaccine, whether it is the Pfizer one, whether it's the AstraZeneca one, whether it's the Moderna one, because there are many going on, right? If at the last count, they're almost close to 200 vaccine candidates. So some might work, some might not work, some might work better for others, you know. And whether we need single doses, double doses, will COVID-19 mutate? These are all questions, I think, naturally that will be asked and, you know, answers will have to be sought. But I think the point is, at this juncture, it is not available. It's not, and even if it is, it's not going to get to you so soon unless you're a frontliner. So like what you said, Roshan, is a very important point. You have to continue to do your part. You have to maintain those SOPs. Wash your hands, keep a physical distance, try not to go out unless you have to, especially during this period when we're really trying to flatten that pandemic curve. But when I look at some of the articles coming around this vaccine, I also question whether the government is ready, because we do know for this particular vaccine, you need sub-zero temperatures. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be difficult to, the logistics of it is going to be a challenge. You also need to have the glass vials to kind of store the vaccines, to finish and fill that. Are we ready? And where do we rank globally in terms of getting this Pfizer vaccine? Because Japan, US, UK, and I heard EU have already signed separate agreements with Pfizer. So they've been clever. They've used their muscle, their economic might, their political superpower to kind of choke the vaccine. And Pfizer is also still communicating or discussing with COVAX, which we are supposed to sign on. But what does this mean? Where do we rank? When will we get it? All big questions that we don't have answers to. But in the meantime, I think the most important thing is to make sure that we follow our SOPs. So let us know what you think. How soon do you want to get the vaccine? Would you be one of the first few to try it? Would you be brave? WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we have the news bulletin, and to take us there is Little Lies by Fleetwood Mac. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Good morning. This is Xiaoning and I'm here with Roshan on The Morning Run. And that was Think I'm in Love by Beck. And it's just gone past 6:39 in the morning, Wednesday, the 11th of November. And I think we've had a very interesting start so far, because we've talked about polar opposite topics, one of which, of course, is Singles Day, because it's the 11th of November. So the biggest shopping day in the year, thanks to Alibaba. Some creative marketing person must have just whipped it out of his head and say, ha, let's come up with an excuse to shop, and they created one. And of course, the COVID-19 vaccine, because Pfizer yesterday evening announced that their vaccine has so far apparently a 90% efficacy rate. So a bit of joy there. I think the whole world, this is probably the one product everybody wants badly. But in the meantime, we are also looking at international headlines. And of course, it's all about Donald Trump because he can't seem to go away, literally. He appears to be determined to throw as many obstacles into the path of President-elect Joe Biden to the White House. So U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said that there will be a, this is the funny part, there will be a smooth transition to a second Trump administration in a press briefing at the State Department. I don't know. I seem to have missed that memo, Roshan. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, end of the day, as much as we like to call him President-elect Joe Biden, the results haven't been certified, right? And until that it happens, there is going to be this wiggle room for everyone to play with the narrative. And arguably, I think I'm seeing this on the right-leading side, right? They're saying, oh, this, it's the big media who's now proclaiming Joe Biden as president. But, you know, they didn't seem to complain too much when they projected Donald Trump as the president in 2016. So that's something to keep in mind. So as long as Donald Trump doesn't concede, there's going to be this thing going on and off. But what it does do is it doesn't help with that concept of a smooth transition, right? Because Pompeo did not refer to Joe Biden at all during this point. And there seems to be some friction between allowing Joe Biden access to certain information and allowing him to kind of plan for what could happen in the months to come or when he takes up the presidency. And this is a break from practice, you know. I think on Monday, U.S. Attorney General William Barr authorized probes into possible instances of electoral fraud in the presidential poll, even acknowledging that there was no indication of voting irregularities impacting the election. Now, here's the thing. Yes, they may have lost the presidential election, but they didn't lose a lot of Senate seats. They didn't lose a lot of Congress seats, even the state legislatures. Are they going to contest all the ballots in those areas as well, even those that may impact them in non-presidential races? You know, there's a lot to unpack here. And I think that's why it's going to be a very interesting time. But they've got until December 8th before they have to wrap up and certify results. So it could be a long few weeks.
Yeah, but this is a few weeks which is extremely critical for the United States because two things are really happening at the same time. One is your COVID cases are 100,000 and above. So really, you got to get your act together with regards to that. And Biden's already set up his own COVID-19 committee, ignoring pretty much whatever Trump has been saying. That's one. The other one, of course, is the economy, right? Because your stimulus packages are out. People aren't doing well. So yes, your stock markets, you know, edge closer, ever, ever higher. But there is always somehow a disconnect between Main Street and Wall Street. And people are feeling the pinch. So in the meantime, when you don't want to play ball and you want to be difficult about handing over the reins, who pays the price? Ultimately, it's your citizens. So when you think about it, for me, it's a bit ridiculous. And, you know, I think what is unusual here so is that the one thing about United States, say what you want, is that the institutions, okay, so the government agencies are supposed to do their part. And historically, there's been great respect for that. So yes, the country can be very polarized, it can be very divided, but institutions are supposed to ensure that the day-to-day living for Americans continues, that there's no disruption. But here we have a president who doesn't want to recognize the importance of this of their functions. So in the past, when there's a new president-elect, what happens is that there's a security briefing given to him every day. The White House is supposed to allow access to Joe Biden's staff to come in already. He's supposed to get some confidential documents with regards to the economy, regards to anything that's important. And that's not happening.
Yeah, but you know, but all that said, Shaning, I think it's important to recognize that what Donald Trump is doing, while not in practice and maybe not the most tasteful of things, it's not illegal, right? And he still can get it done. I think he's also got the support of Mitch McConnell, Senate Majority Leader, who says the president is 100% within his rights here to challenge the election results. And if we go back just 10 years ago, Al Gore challenged the results of that election between him and Bush. And in fact, a funny story is Al Gore actually called H.W. Bush to concede and then called him back to take back his concession. So it's just, and that I think went on till December 10th or something like that. So it is going to take some time to get this done until the results are certified. You know, there's going to be this back and forth, but you're 100% correct in the sense that, I mean, it's a tough time for America right now in the sense that they're in a very serious situation with the COVID-19 pandemic. They need support. it's going to be a very difficult situation. I mean, what was it, 100,000 cases a day or something like that at this point?
I mean, you can choose to be difficult or you can choose to leave gracefully and leave your mark as a president, be whatever it may be.
I have to correct myself. 20 years ago was Bush versus Gore. 2000, not 2010. What am I talking about?
Anyway, let us know what you think. Should President Trump just leave gracefully, or should he, you know, as what he's doing now, create a bit of chaos as he goes about? Give us your thoughts. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Up next, we'll take a look at the front pages of our daily newspapers and online portals. We'll be back after these messages. Now, don't go away. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, I'm Wong Shaoning with Roshan Kunnison, and this is The Morning Run, and it's just gone past 6:49 in the morning, and that song was a rather depressing title called Cemetery Gates by The Smiths. But nonetheless, before we get into the headlines in the newspapers, I do want to read out two tweets that we received, and it's quite funny. One of them is from Roland Tan about US President Trump's departure, or his unwillingness to depart, because he said, "Chaos is Trump's middle name. Shouldn't expect him to grow up all of a sudden." And yeah, maybe there's a bit of truth there. And Kumi Katz wrote in also with regards to the COVID-19 vaccine, you know, because we asked, when do you think you'll get it? Who should get it first? Will you be brave enough to get it? And he wrote in, he said, "I'm a healthy young individual, so I expect 2022, unfortunately." Yeah, and I think many governments and even ours, of course, the frontliners are a priority and all the vulnerable groups first. So if you're healthy, please wait patiently. It's the right thing to do. But meanwhile, Roshan, what do you have in front of you in terms of the newspapers and online portals?
I have Malaysia Kini open right now, and I want to address something that we talked about yesterday morning, Shaoning, the petrol station, My Sejahtera check-in. So Datuk Ismail Sabri has shed some light here, and here are a few SOPs when visiting a petrol station during the CMCO, and this is a report from Malaysia Kini. Individuals who perform transactions in the convenience store at a petrol station or simply enter the store have to register. Individuals who only use the petrol pump without entering the convenience store don't have to scan the My Sejahtera QR code. Those who make their payments through the pigeonhole outside the petrol station's convenience store similarly do not need to scan the QR code. However, Dr. Sri Ismail said that if there was a long queue of people wanting to make payment, then they would have to scan the My Sejahtera QR code. So a few other conditions there, but essentially, it looks like if you're just pumping and you're pumping petrol there and there's no one around you, it shouldn't be an issue. So let's hope that more of this gets clarified because, you know, again,
It was more important that there's no confusion.
Yes. And, you know, it's important, you know, we all pay attention to the SOPs and things like that, but it can be difficult when we are not sure exactly how to adhere to all of it, right?
Yeah, because within the day yesterday, I received so many tweets and conflicting tweets, right? Because there was a tweet from the Malaysian Petrol Dealers Association. And then there was an article coming out from the newspapers, of course, the China Press, saying that the police says you have to do it. And then, of course, to top it all right? Because we are Malaysians and we have a sense of humor. And maybe there was a petrol station out there who thought, huh, I'll be clever. There was pictures posted of a man in a uniform, a petrol station uniform, and he had the QR code stuck onto his T-shirt. So, you know, people were like, oh, is that the new norm? But of course, the other news that has grabbed Malaysia's attention, unfortunately, for those who are living in the Klang Valley, is our taps are going to run dry, or if they haven't already, because it's supposed to have happened at 6 p.m. yesterday. So once again, and this is in page 6 of The Star, over 1 million accounts left parched as pollution shuts water plants down. Patience runs out as taps go dry. And just to remind everybody, this is the 9th incident this year and the 4th in 3 months. And let's face it, water is an essential. And if you're asking us to wash our hands, how do you expect people to do this? And this is really inconvenient, not just for households, but also for businesses, right? Because if you're a restaurant, you're F&B, you're a coffee shop owner, what are your options? How can you continue your business?
Yeah, and I think I have another article here from Malaysia Kini about odour pollution. And it seems like the Selangor government suspects, according to this article, actually a bit of foul play, a bit of sabotage here, because with regards to the latest odor pollution levels that have disrupted the water supply. So EXCO, the EXCO who heads the Environmental Green Technology and Science Technology and Innovation and Consumer Affairs portfolio, wow, that is a long portfolio title, revealed this during the State Assembly sitting yesterday. And he was responding to Bukit Lanjan Assembly person Elizabeth Wong. Basically, this is on the threshold odor number, right? That's one of the readings that essentially lead to whether a water treatment plant needs to shut down. And, you know, Shaning, it is, what was it? You said 9 in the last 6 months, is that right?
Yeah, 9 you know, this year and the 4th in 3 months.
Fourth in 3 months, there is something seriously wrong with all of this. And I understand, of course, authorities and the government have a lot of work on their plate to kind of address this, but there has to be something different about this year that we are seeing a spike there, right?
I mean, and we need to address this on a structural level and for a long term, because water is an essential service. Now, very quickly, Malaysian Reserve, hidden in page 7, is news that Bernas gets extension for 10 more years. Now, we know Bernas is the sole gatekeeper of rice imports, and their monopoly was due to expire next year. Apparently, it has been renewed on the justification that Bernas will ensure they are the guardian of the country's rice management and to prevent a food crisis, and also to act as a buffer in the event of it. But of course, questions arise in the past whether Malaysia should still have monopolies of such nature. Are they actually beneficial for consumers at the end of the day? Does this lead to lower or higher rice, which is of course something that all Malaysians eat?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, when we take a look at something else I've seen in the news here, actually, was yesterday, Dato' Sri Najib Razak, the former Prime Minister, was giving a budget speech, and there was a walkout by several MPs, actually. And I think a lot of them didn't like the fact that he was essentially convicted in court at this point, and that he was making a speech about the budget in Parliament. They did, and of course, a lot of them have, like Murray Chin, for example, was under scrutiny during, let's just put it that way, under Dato' Sri Najib Razak's time as Prime Minister. But on the morning brief, the CEO morning brief from The Edge, third page here, long forgotten big caps in focus amid vaccine optimism. I think, Shaoning, we saw this yesterday. The KLCI was up 3%, if I'm right. And I think instead of talking about the psychologically important 1,500 mark, we're now talking about the 1,600 mark, because I think it closed around 1,575 yesterday. And we saw some big moves in the Bursa Malaysia Financial Services Index that was up 8% on a one-day basis, and the Energy Index, which was up 7% on a one-day basis.
Yeah, but that's all that we have on the papers this morning. Coming up next is a 7 a.m. news bulletin. And to tell us where global markets are heading, we're also going to speak to Jack Kuzi, Director of Strategy at VFS Group. But first, here's Let's Stick It Together by Brian Ferry. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.